You're listening to The Mom Inspired Show, episode 14 with Julia Belsante. Welcome to The Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day. Hey, you guys, before we jump into the intro, I just want to say I would really love to hear from you. So how you would do that is you would email me at amber@mominspiredshow.com. And what I'm looking for is some feedback, what you like about the show, maybe what you don't like about the show. And I would also love to hear topics that you would like me to discuss in future episodes. You guys are my audience. This is why I do it. I do it for you guys. So I really want to help you out. So please give me some feedback. I would greatly appreciate it. Hey guys, you are in for a treat today with Julia's episode. If you're sitting out there wondering how in the world to stay on budget with groceries, she's going to go over her tips and tricks and how to do that. If you struggle to meal plan, she's going to go over how she does that every week and what that looks like. And if your kids are picky eaters, she talks about how to get them to be more adventurous and try new foods. So I hope you find some inspiration with this episode. Let's go to the show. Julia, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Amber.
So I'd like to start off every show with an icebreaker. So what is your favorite vacation spot that you have gone to and why? And this can be with or without kids.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've only been on one vacation with my kids, and that has definitely been my favorite vacation just because it was fun to see them kind of explore a new area. But we actually just got back from Rosemary Beach a couple weeks ago. And I hadn't been there since I was pregnant with my first, and it was so fun to bring both of the boys back and watch them explore the ocean and find crabs and go out to new restaurants. And I would have to say that's been my favorite trip. I'd love, love, love to go back as soon as possible.
Yes, I feel that way too about the beach, especially that area. And did you guys just do a condo, you know, rent a condo, or where did you stay?
Yeah, we rented a house. Oh, my house, husband's one of four, and all of his siblings came down with their husbands and wives and their kids, too.
Oh, so it was a lot of people in, like, a big house or
big
something?
Group.
Awesome.
Yep.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I just love that area, and it's nice that we can drive to the Nashville area to Florida. So, all right. Well, let's get into the show. How about you tell us a little bit who you are and how you got to where you are today with what we're going to jump into?
Sure. I'm Julia Belsante, and I am a mom to two boys. Louis is three and Teddy is a year and a half. I live here in the Nashville area, but I'm originally from Seattle. And I definitely learned about cooking and meal planning and budgeting from my mom. She's a great cook. And when we were younger, she definitely made it a point that we had a family meal together every night. She worked long hours and had a long commute. So sometimes it was up to me to get dinner started. So I'd come home from school when I was in middle and high school, and she'd have awesome instructions for me of what I could do to kind of get things prepped and set up so that when she got home, we'd be, you know, just 15 minutes away from eating. So I learned a lot of really basic time management skills in the kitchen and recipes, and just the importance of everybody sitting at the table together every night.
I love that. And I mean, so did you feel like at the time, oh my gosh, I have to do this, what a pain, or did you enjoy it?
I loved doing it. And I don't think she would have had me do it if it was something I didn't like. It was something she knew was fun for me and a way that I could be helpful. So it was kind of a gift that she gave me to allow me to make these dinners that, you know, I'm sure would have been better if she had just made the whole thing. Kind of her allowing me to learn those skills and take the time to teach me something. And I'm really glad that she did.
I love that. And what age would you say that you really started to show an interest in wanting to bake or cook?
I started baking when I was in fifth and sixth grade. And then I started cooking more dinners probably around eighth grade.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. And that kind of leads me into my next question, because I was going to ask you, why do you think you got to where you are with being so good at that? So that makes sense. And you answered that. So I think a lot of people have a hard time meal planning, prepping, and also budgeting for groceries. And it seems like it's really hard to conquer any of those, forget all three of those. And so I feel like meals either take too long, or you're going over budget, or then you're trying to stay super healthy. And so I don't know. I have found that sometimes the healthier I go, there's a lot of prep. And so, or then you go over budget. So this leads me into my next question. How do you go about setting and tracking a budget and actually staying within it?
So my first step is I got an app called the Every Dollar app. And it's a free app that you can get on your phone. And I use it to track all kinds of things, not just groceries, but it's a great visual way to see how far you are in the month and how much money you have left to spend. So my biggest piece of advice is just know what your week looks like. Know who has soccer, who has, you know, when your husband has late meetings, when you're going out with your friends, so you know exactly how many meals you need. And then from there, I try to plan some meals I know are more expensive, generally something that has chicken breasts, for example, I know is going to cost a little bit more money. I try to have a good balance of meals that have more ingredients and meals that are really simple that I know I can do really effectively with not a ton of money. And then I just kind of go from there. So I do my shopping online because if you're putting things in a cart on the computer, you can see exactly how much it costs. So I use Kroger ClickList or I use Walmart you can see, okay, just for the sake of math, let's say that I have $100 this week for groceries. I can see, oh, I'm already at $85 and I have a dinner left. What's something that I can do for $15? Or the other way around, let's say I've done all my shopping and I'm at $85. I know I have $15 to buy those pantry staples or cleaning products that aren't going to go bad. So I can make good use of my final $15 getting, you know, Tide Pods or cans of beans, or I can add in an extra bunch of bananas just to make sure that I'm really using that money wisely. I think it's worth getting to know what resources work really well for you for cost-effective meals. So I have a couple of websites that I know have recipes that don't use a ton of ingredients, that use those pantry staples really well, that are healthy, and that I can get something on the table really quickly. So I pull those recipes and just save them either on a Pinterest board, or I print them out and put them in my planner. And that way I know when I really need one of those cheap go-to meals, I have them ready to go and can just go ahead and pull one of those when I really need something cheap and quick.
Yeah. So now is there so you're saying you go to certain websites that they have those kind of meals?
Yeah, absolutely. So my favorite.
Yeah, I love it.
My favorite would be Martha Stewart Every Day. All of the recipes take 30 minutes or less. They use healthy pantry staples like canned tomatoes or canned beans, and they're really made for weeknight cooking. They have a magazine that comes out that you can get, or you can get daily emails sent to you. And that's what I do. And then if there's an email that sounds like something my family would particularly enjoy, I just go ahead and save that recipe. So I have it in my arsenal when I'm doing my weekly planning.
So that kind of leads me to another question. So how often are you repeating the meals like weekly, or do you try to change it up a lot?
I tend to change it up a lot, but that's because I have toddlers and I want them trying new things. So I don't want them to be in a rut where, okay, we eat pasta on Tuesdays, we eat tacos on Wednesdays. I want them to be trying all kinds of different foods. So I really try to go through new recipes as often as I can. But with that, you just have to kind of understand you're going to get a loser every once in a while. That's something that, you know, maybe people don't like or isn't such a hit. But I do try to try things, new things, very consistently, probably 2 new recipes a week.
Oh, 2 new. Okay. So let me ask you, with your kids, have they always been good eaters, or do you feel like they, one or both, you had to kind of coach them or something? Like, because I'm thinking a lot of people might be listening thinking, oh my gosh, I can't get them to eat any of this kind of stuff.
Sure.
And for me, what I noticed with my youngest, she turned 1 and she kind of regressed on what she was eating. And so she was like eating black beans all the time. And then she's like, I don't want to eat black beans. So is there any thoughts, or have you found any tricks in regards to this?
So both of my boys are good eaters, but they've gone through that regression that you talk about. So for the first year, they'd eat anything. I mean, I remember handing my 1-year-old, who's now 3, a lemon slice, and he tried to eat a slice of lemon. I mean, he literally would eat anything. But when he turned probably 13 months old, he realized there was power in saying no. So he realized, okay, you want me to eat this, so I'm not going to. And it gave him some power and some control. And I think that's pretty typical with kids, because there's very little in their lives that they have control over. I mean, we right. tell them what to wear, when to go to bed, what we're doing that day, you know, when to wake up in the morning, what time they go to bed, how much TV they can watch. So there's very sure. little that they actually can control. A couple things that I've done to encourage my kids to be good eaters is I don't really offer an alternate meal. So if we're having tacos for dinner, we're having tacos for dinner. I'm not going to make you a bowl of cereal or a scrambled egg or something that I know you'll eat just because you don't want to eat it. I also try to set a really positive tone at the dinner table. So we don't do a lot of begging, you know, please eat this, please take a bite. I'm so frustrated you're not eating this. We try to keep it really positive because that way they see that my feathers aren't ruffled. If they don't eat it, it doesn't give them as much power if I'm not reacting. My mother-in-law says the bigger the audience, the bigger the show. So we try to keep that audience really calm. And I also just track, you know, what foods they really, really love. And I'll pair something new with something I know that they really enjoy. So for example, my three-year-old, for some reason right now, loves mushrooms. That's just, I don't know why. He loves them. He'll eat them with anything. So last week I decided I was going to do a big stir fry for dinner and put mushrooms in it because I know that he loves them, and then put some new vegetables he hadn't had or some green vegetables that aren't necessarily his favorite so that I could say, hey, I made dinner with mushrooms. And he was really excited about it and didn't really notice the zucchini, the broccoli, the green beans, the snow peas, because he was so excited that I had kind of piggybacked on something that I know that he likes. And that tends to work super, super well. For breakfasts and for lunch, I give a choice of two things. And those two things aren't the same every day. But if I can say, hey, you know, it's breakfast time, would you like yogurt and an egg, or would you like oatmeal? It gives them a little bit of control to be able to say, I'd like oatmeal. So they've made the choice. It's a choice that I'm comfortable with. And they feel like they have some power in that. And then the other thing is I just don't give up. You know, if there's a week where neither of my kids want to eat anything, I really stick to my guns because it's important enough to me that we're all eating the same thing and we're all eating together at a generally happy dinner table. So I'm just very, very persistent in trying to make sure that, you know, we're on the same page.
So what does that look like? So you're sitting at the table, you have one or both kids not wanting to eat what you have given them. And so one, how do you keep that positive? And two, have they ever walked away from the table eating completely nothing?
No, that's never happened. I figure if they come to the table hungry, they're generally going to eat something. So that's another thing, is we really try to limit snacks so that when they come to the table, they have a hungry stomach. And our rule is you don't have to like it, but you do have to try it. So I say that pretty much on repeat. On those nights when it's really difficult and we don't want to eat something, I just say, you know, you don't have to like it, but you do have to try it. And I serve at least one thing that I know that they like.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's pretend you give them rice as a side. You know, they love the rice, and then they leave the meat and or the vegetable. We're just going to use this as an example.
Sure.
So they eat all the rice, and then you're encouraging them to eat the meat and the vegetable. But say they're like, I'm not doing it. So would you just be okay with that? Or what, how, what would you do?
The way I navigate it in my house, if it's a meal like that, where I think we may have some problems, is I withhold the rice until they eat the meat and the vegetables. I don't even put it on the plate. So they have to try the meat and the vegetables. And I set a number, you know, you have to have five bites of each and then they can have the rice.
Now, do they know that the rice is an option, like later, or do you not even show them or tell them that there is rice?
I set it on the table where they can see it. And I say, oh, my goodness, I'm so excited for you to try this new dinner. You know, we have all these vegetables. There's so many vitamins. You know, it's going to help you grow big and strong. I usually pick a character that they're into. So right now we're all about Star Wars. So it's, you know, you can be just like Luke Skywalker if you eat this. Kind of whatever works. And I say, we're going to have five bites of each. And then I know you love rice. You can have that at the end.
I love that. And did your kids have issues with meat?
Yes.
Like, I feel like, okay, so what, I cannot get my youngest, I feel like she eats like a vegan. That's not even by my doing. It's, she loves hummus. I mean, she just likes vegetables and fruit over, like, she won't eat yogurt. She won't eat cheese. She won't eat meat. And so. There's a point where you go, like, maybe is their bodies more drawn to eating like that? And should I be trying to make them eat the meat and dairy. So what's your take on that, especially with the meat situation?
Well, with both of mine, they regressed from wanting to eat very much meat when they got teeth. They both got a ton of teeth all at once. So Teddy just finished getting 8 teeth back to back to back to back for 2 months. Wow. He was getting a tooth constantly.
Wow.
And I think it really didn't feel good on his gums to eat it. I mean, I think it legitimately hurt. So for him, you know, it was more of a physical issue. So I cut it really small and that tended to help. With Lewis, where I think it's more behavioral, I tried to pair it with something I knew that he really liked. So if we don't love yogurt, but we love strawberries, I'd put a bowl of yogurt and top it with some strawberries, and you take a bite of both together.
I see.
To kind of pair something he's maybe not crazy about with something he is.
Okay. And then what would you do if it was a behavioral thing for the meat?
I hesitate to use the word bribery, but I would just kind of say, hey, you love hummus. Let's have 2 bites of our chicken and then we can have 1 bite of hummus. And I would repeat that. Because I do feel like, you know, they're bound to show preferences and there are foods that they legitimately aren't going to like. But I think it would be rare for a kid to hate an entire food group if it wasn't just sort of a behavioral thing and not the actual taste. So I would just try to mix it with something that you know that she loves, and I would almost make her earn the thing that she loves. So if you know she loves cucumbers, I would say, hey, we're going to have 5 bites of our chicken and then you can have a cucumber.
Yes. And I've learned that and I've had to do that at times.
Sure.
And I will say you have to be very intentional. And I think that's when it comes to this, what everything you are saying is intentional. So if this is important to people, you really have to kind of follow through. You have to be intentional. I think that's key. And so this kind of goes back to you saying you don't want to give them snacks. And this is what I've noticed. So my husband tends to get home at 6. I wish he got home earlier because I feel like they could eat at 5.
Sure.
So, and then they're starving. So I have to give them something.
Right.
So do you have any thoughts on when the husbands or whoever gets home later, because it could be a husband gets home earlier and the mom gets home later, depending if they both work.
Right.
And you're wanting to sit down together, but the kids are starving, but you don't want to mess up their appetite. So do you have any idea of like how far away from dinner you can maybe give them a snack, or do you have any tips on that?
This is something we encounter a ton because my husband sometimes doesn't get home till 6:30 or 6:45. So I feel for sure.
Yes.
You know, I would say that depends a little bit on your lifestyle, but if they are truly hungry, that can be a good time to get them to try some of those foods that might be a little peskier. So that might be a good time to have them have some new vegetables that maybe they're not crazy about or that they haven't tried yet. When they really have a hungry tummy, give that as a snack. I would just do something that's really light, that's not going to totally fill them up, you know, avoid a ton of carbs, that kind of thing. But I mean, you don't want someone coming to the table really, really fussy because that's not helping you either.
No.
Mm-hmm. And also I would say, you know, the goal is to eat dinner together every single night, but realistically that's not going to happen. So some days when we are just really hungry, you know, my husband will get home after we've started eating dinner, and it's not the ideal, but you're not going to have the ideal every single day. So there may be some days where, okay, it's 5:45. Everybody's starving. Dad doesn't get home till 6:15. We're just going to get a little bit of a head start.
Okay. So yeah, you feel like it's better to just start them eating versus them being starving and getting fussy or feeling like you need to give them something.
I guess it just depends how close to dinner it is. I mean, if they're starving at 4:00, I would definitely do a snack because they're not going to make it 2 hours. But if it's 5:30 and everybody's hungry, you know, I would distract as long as you can. But if you have to get a head start on dinner, personally, that's what I prefer to do. And you know, the ideal is that everybody sits together, but you know, you have to understand you're not going to have the ideal 7 days a week. And if you have a day where you eat before everybody's home, that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that. And I wanted to go back to your question when I was asking you about the online shopping. Mm-hmm. I haven't done Kroger, but is there a fee to using Kroger versus Walmart?
Walmart does not have a fee. That's a free service. Kroger charges either $4 or $5. And I just include that in my budgeting. But I will say, you know, when you're doing the shopping online, you really can't impulse buy because you set it up to pick up 24 hours in advance. So you're not going to be you know, really hungry in aisle five and grab a pack of English muffins just because they look good at the time. So I find that I make the $5 back and it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah. Okay.
The first time use it, it is free. They do waive the fee. I believe you can get a coupon to just try it for free. So if it's something you're interested in, I think you can look on their website. And when you set up an account, the first time it's free.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Can you walk us through a little bit how that works? Mm-hmm. Like you go online and then do you have to set up an account?
You do like, set up an account. Mm-hmm. You set up an account that just has your, you know, name, address, and your preferred store. And then if you have a loyalty card, like a, you know, Kroger card, whichever store it is, it'll link that account to your ClickList account. And then from there, it's basically just like shopping on Amazon or anywhere else online. You search for the product that you want. So you could type in sourdough bread or canned pinto beans or whatever it is that you're looking for. And then you just add it to your cart. And for fresh items, it's by the pound generally. So it'll say, you know, I want 2 pounds of apples. I want 3 pounds of bananas. And that's actually been the piece that's taken a little learning for me is, okay, how many apples are actually in a pound? Right. And they help you out on that a little bit on the website, but it does take a little bit of learning to figure that out. But once you're done with your cart, you just check out and pick a time that you're going to come pick it up. And then they have special parking spots in the store just for ClickList. So when you pull in the parking spot, there's a phone number that you call and they pick up and you just tell them which spot you're in. They're numbered. Oh, and then they just come out, load your car, run your card, and then you head on your merry way.
Now, is that Walmart or is that Kroger?
They both run the same way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do like that. And I do think that would help the budget because like you said, you're not seeing everything that is possible to buy. And also, what is your thoughts on this? Because I find that I have to go to multiple stores because there's just some things that I like at different stores, kind of like Costco or Sam's. Do you belong to those at all?
Yeah, I do belong to Costco. And that's actually a great budget saving tip is to buy things in bulk when you can. Even at stores like Kroger, there are ways that you can do that. Like if you buy a big box of raisins, it's cheaper than buying the 20 snack-sized boxes of raisins. But I do buy things, especially for my kids' school lunches at Costco that are already, you know, that's like a big pack of them where I can just say, okay, we have 30 pouches of applesauce. And I do find that you save a lot of money that way. Yeah.
Now, how do you not go crazy and buy? Because I feel like every time I walk out of Costco, even if I'm not, like, I'm not buying a million things, but you kind of go, whoa, how did I hit $200 really fast? So how do you find yourself from going way over? Because sometimes Costco is the thing that throws my budget completely over.
Right.
So do you have any thoughts on how to control that a little bit?
Well, the way I do it at Costco is I allow myself one flex item. I know that sounds like super strict, but I basically just say, okay, I have, you know, mini packs of hummus on my list. I have toilet paper. I have sparkling water. And then if there's one other thing that I see that I think, you know, we really need to have and is going to be really helpful to us, I allow myself to get that. So I don't walk in without a plan. Yeah. I walk in with a list, but I do allow myself a little bit of leeway if they have, oh, like my kids love trail mix. Let's say they have a huge bag of trail mix that I think is going to be great for, you know, keeping in the car when we're out and about, whatever. And I let myself get that. So it kind of gives yourself some structure, but also a little bit of flexibility.
I like that. Now, have you ever, though, been at Costco and you are in the produce section? Like, we won't even mess with the fun, like, carb-loaded sugar stuff. And you go, oh, no, I forgot that the bag of Brussels sprouts are sold here. But then you're like, oh, wait, those bagels are my flex item. So would you not get the Brussels sprouts if they weren't on your list? Or would you allow yourself to do that?
I would get them, but then I would just adjust my budget for Kroger. Okay. So I would say, you know what, we spent an extra $10 here, and I would just take $10 off my Kroger budget.
Okay, so when do you normally do your Kroger or Walmart? You're sitting down at your computer. When are you normally doing that? And then when are you picking it up?
Like,
do you have a day that you tend to do that?
Yeah, I try to set it up Fridays and then pick up on Saturday because I can go without kids. And then if I'm going to an additional store, I try to just have one of my kids with me. So I usually go when the older one is at school.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that. And so when do you normally sit down and plan your meals?
I do that on Fridays as well before before I do my shop.
So you sit down, you look at what you have in the house, and then Is that kind of how you go about things? So you're doing your two new meals, and then are you kind of just taking inventory of what mm-hmm. you have and then basing it around that?
Exactly. I try to look at what pantry staples I have. And then I also think about what's in season, because seasonal produce is always going to be a lot cheaper. So I try to think about what's in season that I can get a good deal on. And then when you actually go on the Kroger website, they have the deals on the front page. So example, last week they had pineapples for $1. So I added two of those to my cart. And then as soon as I picked them up, I just went ahead and cut them up and stuck them in the fridge for a quick snack. I planned it on what's seasonal, and then recipes I want to try, and then just, you know, things I know that our family likes.
Sure. And so when you're planning the meals, though, do you have an idea how much these are all going to add up? Or do you just start adding it to the list online and then you start to see, okay, this is where we're at?
I make a paper list before I add it online, and I can just sort of visually see how long my list is getting. So if I know that I need, you know, 6 ingredients for one recipe, then I'm going to pick a second one where I know I just need, you know, a box of tortellini and some fresh tomatoes or something. So I know that it's going to be a lot cheaper. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good idea. Now, I know that you like to involve your kids in meal planning and cooking. Mm-hmm. So can you share with us what you like to do with them?
Sure. I bought on Amazon some kid-friendly knives. And I know that sounds really scary at first, but it's basically as sharp as like a, you know, butter knife you'd take on a picnic. Plastic knife. Mm-hmm. So I bought a set of those that my oldest can use to cut softer things. And he loves doing that. So he can, you know, cut up a cucumber or a banana or, you know, something like that. And he likes to do that while I'm cooking. So that keeps his hands busy. It shows him that he can help in the kitchen. And it's just kind of a fun first step for him. So I do that to kind of keep him involved. And then for breakfast and lunches, like I said, I like to give him a choice of two things just to give him a little bit of control over what his day looks like and what our menus look like. And then I'll ask, you know, is there something you'd really like to eat this week? And if he says, you know, I'd really like to have, I don't know, chicken pot pie, I might go ahead and add that to our rotation just so that he feels like he picked something and he got to kind of be involved in that process.
Okay, that's cool. Now, are you happy with the knives that you got? And do you know the names, or do you just feel like if you just searched any Amazon kid knife, that'd be fine?
I love the ones I have. I can't remember the name of it, but I can definitely send it to you. They come.
Yeah, if you send
pack.
It to me, I'll put it in the. Okay, perfect. I'll put it on the show notes. Yeah. Great. Okay. Great. Yeah. And then now, do you make pot pies?
I do. Yes, do? I do. I have a recipe that makes two, so I usually just cook one that night and put the other in the freezer.
So are you making the pie crust?
I don't. No, but
you
I
don't.
Make the
okay,
filling.
So you,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I love. Chicken pot pies. So, well, this kind of leads me to my next question, and we're almost at the end of the show.
Sure.
I would love to know, what is your favorite go-to breakfast and your favorite go-to dinner that you really like to make?
Well, I guess I'm probably going to pick things that are seasonal to right now, just because that's what we've been eating a lot of. But my kids love for breakfast any kind of muffin. And I have several muffins that don't use any flour. They just use old-fashioned oats. And then they have a cup of Greek yogurt in them, so they have some protein. So I'll make a dozen of those. Like, I made a dozen yesterday while the boys napped. And then either we'll eat them all, or if I feel like, you know, they might be getting stale, I can pop them in the freezer. So that's a really, really good go-to for us. They're good on the go for me. I can just, you know, have one in the car on the way to run errands, or the boys lead them for breakfast. So that's definitely a go-to breakfast for us. And then I'll also do baked oatmeal, because you can just mix it together, bake it, and then you can heat up a serving at a time in the morning when you need it. So those are definitely my two big breakfast items we've been doing lately. This time of year, in terms of cost, I feel like it's really great to do soup. I do a lot of soup in the crock pot, so I'll just put it on either while the boys are eating lunch or while the boys nap. I'll just throw everything in the crock pot and put it on high for 4 hours and heat it up. And then you can either freeze it if you made a bunch of it and just reheat it another day, or you can have it for lunches. I'll send some with my husband, or I'll send some in a thermos for my older son to take to school. So that's, we're doing a lot of soup this time of year.
Oh, what is your favorite soup that you like making so far?
I love doing minestrone soup, or Lewis's favorite is broccoli soup. And it's a great way to get him to eat greens. He loves the Panera one, and I found a good copycat recipe that we make quite a bit.
So you know what? If you could you send us mm-hmm. one of your muffin recipes and the broccoli soup?
Absolutely.
Sounds really fun. Because I think a lot of kids would like to eat that.
Sure.
If you could send that to me and I will put that on the show notes with your episode, I think
sure,
that would
I'll
be perfect.
Happy to.
So as I end this, and so we already know that one of your strengths are meal planning, staying on budget. But mm-hmm. because this is the Mom Inspired Show, I love to embrace everyone's strengths. So I want women to be inspired by other women's gifts. And I know that a lot of women can be apologetic for being good at certain things because they don't want to come off as being better. But I wanted to ask you, what would you say is your greatest strength or something that you're really proud of?
I definitely grew up in a house that fostered creativity. So as a child, we were allowed to be bored a lot. And I think that was a really, really good thing. We didn't always have an activity in front of us or my mom saying, hey, we're doing this next. And then we're doing this. And then we're doing this. We were kind of allowed the freedom to be bored. And that created a lot of creativity in my house. We had a lot of craft supplies, art supplies, fabric, yarn, everything. And I think that really taught me to be creative. Not just in an artistic sense, but in terms of problem solving. And sure. I think that's something that I tend to be really strong at. So I'm a good knitter. I like sewing. And then I try to just be creative with activities I do with my kids and really think outside the box of, okay, what would be fun and cost effective for us to get into today?
Now, yeah, I love that. So did you find that growing up, you were saying you were bored a lot?
I probably was. I don't remember okay. saying it, but I'm sure my mother could tell you that I said it probably on repeat. Okay. But yes, probably.
And she was okay with that. And mm-hmm. and you ended up being okay. Because I do think today people kind of think that their kids do need to be scheduled for everything. So
sure.
I love hearing this perspective. So mm-hmm. how has that been, though, for you to do that with your kids, to let them just be bored? Has that been hard for you? Or do you let them kind of just be like, nope, you just got to go something
to
do.
I try to keep toys on eye level for them. So on low cabinets, low shelves, so that they can help themselves to something. And I try to rotate yeah. those toys out on a pretty yes. consistent basis. They don't need to be, you know, really expensive or anything like that,
yeah.
but change up what stickers we have, what art supplies we have, building blocks, that kind of thing. So that if they're looking for something to do, they know that they have a cabinet of well-organized, well-curated things to play with. That are changing on a consistent basis. So they're pretty good at entertaining themselves and just going to the cabinet and picking out something that looks fun to them.
That's awesome. And I have found the same thing, that you do have to rotate it
yeah.
because then they just get bored with it.
Sure.
And so it does make a big difference. Well, Julia, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I had so much fun talking about this, and I know a lot of moms will appreciate this information. And I will make sure to include the recipes of your favorite meals on the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, before you press stop, I would love to hear from you. If you can send me an email at amber@mominspiredshow.com and give me your feedback. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. What are some things that you might like to change if you could? And also, what are the topics that you're interested in? And if you know anybody that you would think would be a great guest, please reach out to them and also let me know. And then that way I can contact them. All right, you guys, I'll see you next week.